Well, you can try to open up your Bible and see if you can decipher. I will go ahead and read it to you, so perhaps you should listen very carefully to me. We are in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, where the Bible reads as follows. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you for the worship today, and I thank you for the format of worship today. I thank you for Jude Marshall, some men that you redeemed out of this lost world, this dark world, and have given them gifts and a genre of music that will reach people that the church perhaps won't. And I pray that every time they get that opportunity, that the power of God will resonate upon them and they will reach out to hearts and let folks know Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no one cometh to the Father but by Him. Now, Father, we have some electoral elements kind of against us. For whatever reason, the lights today are not working. But we will tarry on. Ironic that we would be contrasting a life of walking in the light versus one walking in the darkness. Perhaps this is under divine providence. Whatever it is, we commit this time to you, and we pray that God moves and speaks. And I do pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I acknowledge my helplessness and dependence upon you today, and I pray that for your people too, as is always the case. We do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Since the time of Moses, God's people have known they are to love others. In Leviticus 19, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. From the time of Jesus, Christians have known they are to love others. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. The problem is, it's possible to know something too well. There's an old adage that describes that: familiarity breeds contempt. So you see, I don't know of a child of God that doesn't know he or she is to love others, and I don't know many children of God that aren't tired of hearing about it. But what you've got to understand is that loving others is not just for goody-two-shoe Christians. It is what we're about. The Bible says God is love. The definitive reality of God is love, and if that's true, what must the definitive reality be of us? Jesus said the distinguishing mark of His disciples would be our love for one another. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that your profession of faith means nothing if you have not love one for another. Ladies and gentlemen, let me inform you of something here today. If love is not the main verb in your life, then there's something very, very wrong with your claim to know Jesus Christ. Now John says, and he begins today, by saying God's command to love, and more specifically, Jesus' command to love, is as old as the gospel itself. Look in verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one which you've heard or which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. In John 13, 34 and 35 is when He said to His disciples, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. All men will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. From the inception of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom, they knew that they were to love others. And so He says, it's an old command which you've had since the beginning. And then He turns right around in the first phrase of verse 8 and says, yet I am writing you a new command. Now, which is it? How can a command be old and new at the same time? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus' old command to love is new because of what Jesus reveals about the love of God. Jesus reveals, first of all, a new emphasis. It was Jesus who brought together the two great commands as one. He says, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And then He made this audacious statement that if you follow those two great commands that all the law and prophets hinged on, you would do everything I wanted you to do. A startling statement. Sums up everything that God had ever tried to communicate to us if we obeyed those two commands. So Jesus brought a new emphasis. He also brought a new standard. Now we're not simply to love others as we love ourselves, but we are to love others as Jesus loved us, or, in our case, loves us. Then He brought a new distinction. He says the definitive mark of those who truly belong to Me, those that separate the wheat from the chaff, even within the church, the distinguishing mark of My people is that they love one another. The old command to love is new because of what Jesus reveals about the love of God. But it's also new because Jesus continues to love in and through you. Notice verse 8. He says, yet I am writing you a new command. Watch this. Its truth is seen in Him. Jesus' command for us to love others was fulfilled in Himself. He demonstrated it. This is how you are to love others. So the truth of the fulfillment of the command of love is seen in Him. In other words, Jesus lives in you to continue to love in and through you. It is really two ways. He loves you with His love, sets you free, and then in that union, you or He through you loves other people. I've always known that I'm supposed to love my wife, and I have sought to do so. And I can tell you today that I love her more some 20 years later than I ever had. It's moved beyond infatuation. And let me tell some of you here today who are dating and the flames of love seem so hot, you're just going to die if you don't talk to them and if you're not with them. Make sure you wait until it moves through the stage of infatuation and make sure that it becomes a seasoned love that is far greater than any infatuation stage. I thought I was in love several times. But boy, when the red wore off the candy, it was bland. But I can tell you something. I love her more now than I ever have. And, sports fans, I'm better at loving her. Now you say, how is that? Well, I'll tell you how. My wife has shown me what love is and how love acts, and I have learned to love with her love. And in a far greater way, Jesus Christ has showed us what love is and how love acts, and more importantly, He lives within you to continue to love with His love, to love you with His love, and to love in and through you others with His love. It's good stuff. Now, what is the evidence that Jesus continues to love in and through you? Well, the world is a little brighter because Jesus shines in you. Look in verse 8. Its truth is seen in Him and whom? You. He continues to love not only in Jesus, but because, or Jesus does love like Jesus loves, but now that He lives within you, He loves in and through you. And look at the result. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Oh, I love that. See, there's lights in the world now. Jesus is the light of the world. And by virtue of Him living in you, you are light in the world. You can see it around the globe. And despite the darkness in this world, there is light. So there is a gradual lessening of the darkness, as it were, and there's more and more lights because the gospel is being spread. And it is very important that you know, as it is already shining, that the light that is shining is true. The Greek word translated true here is not true versus false, but true in the sense that it's genuine, that it's real, that it's authentic. It's the only light. It's amazing to me how little people know of expository preaching who don't think that if you're going through a book verse by verse that you're not preaching expositorily. Well, you need to learn a little bit more about homiletics. If you go to Books of Men or Barnes & Noble, you will see a New Age section, droves of material on the light. Whatever the light is. And one of the most important series that I've ever done in this church was true personal spiritual reality, so you would know what was the reality, biblically speaking, of spirituality. And what you needed to know about spirituality, you need to know about the light. There's a lot of talk out there about light, but there's only one true light. Genuine. Authentic. And you know who it is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ and you who are filled with His presence. You're the light of the world. You're it. Where does people need clarity and truth and understanding? It's the born again ones, because Jesus is the only true light. I love to camp. I really do. There's one thing, though, I don't like about camping, and that's what happens there when I try to sleep, especially the first night. It's much like I try to sleep in any strange place. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a strange place, I will wake up several times through the night. And every time I do, and it's still dark, I'm disappointed. And then the first time that I wake up and I see light, then hope surges in my heart and I find relief because I know that a new day is dawning. This is a dark, godless world. But I'm here to pronounce to you today that there is a divine conspiracy going on. It is called the kingdom of God, and the lights of Jesus Christ are throughout, and it is marvelous in His sight. You know what it looks like? God gave me this morning this analogy during my run. I had a completely different illustration, and God says, this one's better, and He's right. Have you ever gone out at night and seen a beautiful, crystal clear, usually cold night and all the stars in the sky? You know, it's still mostly black and dark, but there's a lot of beautiful stars twinkling everywhere, and there's clusters of them that are richer in some areas than others. That's kind of like we are now. There's a lot of darkness in this world, and there's more clusters of us in certain parts of it than others. But there are bright lights everywhere, even though the darkness is greater. But one day, as the sun comes up, the darkness is dispelled. Jesus Christ, as the song said, will crack the clouds. He will come in all His glory, and the brilliance of that glory will reign on this earth with His people. And the ultimate mess of this world will not be cleaned up until Jesus comes back and sets forth His reign. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be acknowledged by all. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The evidence that Jesus continues to love in and through you is that the world is a little brighter because the Lord shines in you. But also, I know the evidence of Jesus living in and through you because even though it's dark, you know where you're going. Now watch how He says this in verse 10. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. Watch this. And there is nothing in him to make him stumble. If the love of Jesus is flowing in and through you, even in this godless dark world, there is nothing in him to make him stumble. You have perspective. You know what you're doing. You know where you're going because you walk in the light of Jesus Christ's love. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, "Do not succumb to the temptation of bitterness because hate is blinding." Blinding! And what does John say in verse 11? Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. He can't see. His life is characterized by lostness and blindness. He's stumbling, the blind leading the blind. And then he reiterates it in verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Jude Marshall sang a song that I love by Marshall Tucker. Can't you see? Well, let me ask you something. Can you see? Let me tell you how I know. I'll answer that question by asking you another one. Do you love others? Even those that don't love you back. Even your enemies. Do you love others? Let me describe hate for you. And look real deep in your heart and see how much of this is your reality. Hate distorts reality. Hate clouds perspective. Hate blinds you to everything but the thing you hate. Hate is obsessive. Hate controls your mind and causes you to mull it over and over again. Hate fantasizes about retaliation. Hate plots revenge. Hate spreads like a cancer and poisons you and those you love. Hate is something that those without Christ can't seem to get rid of. They want rid of it. They desperately try to get rid of it before it gets rid of them. Sometimes they think they have gotten rid of it until they think about it or someone mentions it. Then the vicious cycle starts over again. Hate destroys those who are wallowing in the darkness because they don't know God. You know who wrote that? I did. About 10 years ago, when hate was eating me alive. Only the light of Jesus Christ's love can dispel the hate in man's heart. So I guess Jesus is the answer after all, isn't He? See, when you got the love of God flowing through you, oh, you got perspective. You got to walk in the darkness, but you got perspective. You don't spend your time mulling over and over offenses against you. You know why? Because those who do just become more hateful and more godless, bitter, destructive. And they know to talk about it with anybody else only fuels it. Though it's difficult, they release it to God and they trust Him to do what is best, which usually means they have to wait until He does whatever it is He's going to do. They choose by a conscious act of the will to love despite feelings, and there's not a greater test that they have turned it over to God than that, because if you want a test of what in your life is not surrendered to God, ask yourself, what it is am I worrying about? That's what you have yet to surrender to Him. And if you do talk to anybody about it, you'll talk to somebody that walks with God and can give you a perspective on loving people absolutely and unconditionally, even when they don't love you back. And you can make a stand against evil without being so contentious. That's love. And the power of that love is unconquerable. I have made a conscious decision. I will not allow your hate of me to control me. And you have that right too. When you hate somebody or you're bitter towards somebody and you're upset with them, you have given them the power to control you and make your life miserable. I recently saw on a news magazine show a video by Eminem. It was repulsive. It made me sick. And I started sensing the hate rising up in me when God came. And when He got through with me, I refused to let Eminem control me because that's precisely what he wanted to do. So I said, God, I pray for Eminem. He is created in the image of God, and You love him, and Jesus died for him. But Father, I stand against what he's perpetrating and how he's allowing Satan to use him. I will not budge, but he will not make me hate him. I will distinguish between who he is and what he does, and I will walk with God and be free from Eminem. Hating people over wrongs against you is a good way for punishing yourself for other people's sins. Stop it. God lives in you. Love will flow. And it is unconquerable. Do you love others? Are they negligible? Are they a nuisance? Do you hold them with contempt? The evidence that Jesus continues to love in and through you is that the world is a little brighter because He shines in you. And you reveal a godly perspective that you know where you're going. May God help us to maintain a disposition towards Jesus that lives within, that He can continue to love in and through us. Now, how's that for a confirmation from God? Let's stand. Lord, we just praise You for the freeing love. God, is it that there might be in this room those who don't know You? Father, give them the courage to seek Me out. They can come to My office. I will go to their home. I will talk to them after the service. I will be here. I'm expendable for You, God, and for them. Love in action. Oh God, draw them to Yourself. Use us as instruments to love them. Father, we are a fellowship of love in this dark world. Is it time for any here to come forward and to join this church? They've received Jesus as Lord. They are willing or have been baptized by immersion, and they want to be a part of us here. God, would You so move upon the hearts of those here that they might join Temple today? Lord, are there others like me and everyone else in here that struggled to love? Father, whatever it is, maybe someone's been horribly abused or done wrong or cheated or betrayed, and on we can go. But Father, we want to come lay it before You today and ask You for the gift of love that frees us from all the darkness of hate, whatever the case may be. Oh, Holy Spirit, have Your way in our midst today. And all of God's people said,